Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara on Lamed Chesem and Aleph. We're 6 lines from the top of Mishma Baderech. Today's daf is very, every daf is very geschmack, but there's a lot of nice plumdusha and practical inyonim on today's daf. So let's start it with it. Mishma Baderech. If someone is traveling on the derech, on the road, that line is going to be important. V'lo aya biyadol lulav liton. You didn't have a lulav in the morning to do the mitzvah. When you enter your house, you should take a lulav from your table. Why does the table mean anything over here? So Rashi says, the Gemara is going to assume it's Darapostra in a moment, that it's telling us that even if you started to eat, you have to be mafsek your su'uda and mafsek your eating, stop your eating and do the and immediately take the lulav. Lona tashachos, if a person didn't take the lulav in the morning time, which obviously ideally we know, every mitzvah that can be fulfilled should be done as early as possible. Vayashkem Avram Baboker. So we learn from there that a person has to fulfill the mitzvah as early as possible. So you couldn't do it in shachos, okay? You tell Ben Arbaim you should take it in the afternoon. Shekoleyam kasher the lulav, because generally based on the Mishnah in Megillah, the Mishnah tells us every mitzvah that's during the day is usually kasher all day. And every mitzvah that's by the Lila is kosher kol halayla. So that principle applies here as well with regards to the mitzvah of lulav. Can be filled any time during the daytime until the shkia. And then even afterwards, mitzvah, you should take it without a bracha after the shkia. So now, the Gemara now says, what are we learning from his table? So the Gemara asks, Amar notlo al shulchano. The Mishnah says you should take it from your table. L'meimar demavsik. So again, the Gemara is assuming it's never pashut, that this means that a person's interrupting his meal in order to fulfill their mitzvah of the mitzvah of lulav. So the Gemara says, Raminu, but wait a second, we have a stira with this and the Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos tells us, imes chilu ein mavsikin. The Mishnah in Shabbos lists different things that a person is not allowed to do before davening mincha. One of the things, right, the whole reason is that you're afraid that a person is going to come and get distracted and not daven mincha. Going to come and it's going to be nighttime, and wait a second, what just happened? Like the Gemara talks about getting a haircut and eating. So the Gemara mentions that that eating a meal, eating a suda, is usher to start. And the Mishnah says there that if one did begin, then he doesn't have to stop right away in order to daven. So the Chora over there, it tells us you don't have to stop to daven, and here it's telling us you have to stop and do the mitzvah of lulav. What in the world is the difference? The Chora, there's a stira between these two Mishnayos. So the Chora, the Gemara could have given a very simple teretz. The Gemara could have said that here the Mishnah is telling us that someone began the meal already and the time already arrived, and therefore he violated the Isser, and he ate the meal, be'isser, and therefore he's violated the din, and therefore he has to stop. As opposed to the Mishnah Shabbos, maybe the Mishnah Shabbos is telling us a person eat a meal before the Zman of Mincha. So I started my meal, let's say, it's a half hour before to get out of any issues, so the earliest Mincha, let's say, is 1:30. So I start my meal before 1 o'clock, so 12:45 I start eating a Suda. So when 1:30 comes in, I don't have to daven Mincha, in that case, but I didn't start at 1:30. If I start at 1:30, I don't have to stop. So from the fact that the Gemara doesn't mention this answer, the Lechora, the Mishnah Shabbos is telling us, even if someone did a pe'isser, because we're going to see as a mitzvah derabanan, since you did, even if you violated the halacha, you don't have to stop eating. That's what the Ran over here says, and Tosfos over there says the same thing, and halacha l'maisa, I didn't double check that in Shulchan Aruch, but I'm almost positive, that is how we go in Shulchan Aruch, that's the case. But because mitzvah derabanan, we don't make you stop, and so deraisa, even if you did a pe'isser, you started a pe'isser, but mitzvah deraisa, we would make you stop. I believe that we hold like that Ran and Tosfos. Now I'm starting to second guess myself, but I think that's the halacha. So the Gemara now says, Amar of Safra. So Rav Safra says, Lo kashya had the ikka shus bayom. So there's no stira between the Mishnah Shabbos and the Mishnah over here, because we're talking about over here is leka shus, ikka shus bayom. There's more time. Sorry, the mincha case is ikka shus bayom. There's more time to daven. So you know you're eating your meal at 1:30. Let's say it's a summer month. So shkia is not till 7:30 right now. So you have 6 hours. And even if you're having a bigger suit with some friends, as a child of bigger, so not getting the bigger suda. You're having a suda. It's going to last a maximum 2 hours, 3 hours. It's definitely not going longer. And the latest you're going to end is 4 o'clock. They're kicking you out of the hall at 4 o'clock. So for sure, you know it's going to end by the shkia. So there, then we can tell you to continue. However, how the lake just been? Our Mishnah is talking about no, where you got home and started your meal at 6:45, and you know the meal is planning on ending at 8 o'clock, and that 8 o'clock is shevrach, whatever it was that they're going to be benching. They announced that the benching is after the shkia. So anyway, I'm going to have to stop at some point to take the lulav. So once I'm already stopped to take the lulav, the chazal going to tell me that I have to, if I'm going to anyway have to interrupt my meal, so then we're going to make you interrupt the meal right now. Whereas in the meal that I can finish it on time, and I knew the plan was clearly that it was going to finish on time, we're not going to make you stop the meal because anyway you'll have much more time to daven mincha later on. So the Gemara asks, Amar Rava. Rava doesn't like the fact that there's anyway, even assuming that there's some sort of stira anyway, there's any contradiction. He says, no contradiction, my kusha, what's the difficulty? He says, Dilma hada reisa derabanan. What are comparing the two? They're apples and oranges. When it comes to the mitzvah of lulav, presumably we're talking talking about mitzvah of lulav on the first day. The Gemara is going to get into that, maybe not. But right now he's assuming we're talking about lulav on the first day, which everyone agrees. V'lekachta lachem b'yom rishon is a pasuk which tells you the mitzvah of lulav is a mitzvah de'oreisa. So that's why I have a chiyuv to stop my mitzvah, as opposed to tefillah, which is only a mitzvah de'rabanan. So then, the Chronim are bothered by this. Ramosha quotes this question, doesn't quote the name of Kesef Mishnah, but clearly he's referring to this Kesef Mishnah. It's a famous Kesef Mishnah. What do you mean this is a machlokas? There's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, whether or not tefillah is a mitzvah de'oraisa. Whether or not the concept of tefillah is a mitzvah de'oraisa. The Rambam writes that it's a mitzvah de'oraisa. So that's what the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah de'oraisa. And so the Ramban says, no, it's not a mitzvah de'oraisa. He argues it's a mitzvah de'rabanan, and he says, if anything is a mitzvah de'oraisa, it's just maybe only if it's a tefillah be'is tzara. It's a time where you are in distress. When you're in time of distress, you call out to Hashem, as the pasuk says, ala tzara tzarer eschem, the enemy is coming to you. So then you have a chiyuv to davet Hashem and call out to Hashem. That would be, even the Ramban potentially would agree in that case, is de'oraisa. So Rav Soloveitchik assumed as a davar pasha, just a beautiful, I like to always quote this because it's a very beautiful idea. Rav Soloveitchik says that the nature, what's the whole nature of tefillah, is that Rav Soloveitchik assumed like that. The Ramban suggested as a maybe. He says, if you're going to tell me that deraisa only this deraisa, he assumes that the Ramban definitely held like that. The Ramban, everyone has to agree, there's some form of tefillah's deraisa. So what's the yisod of machlokas? What are the Rambam and the Ramban really fundamentally arguing about? So Rav Soloveitchik explained very beautifully that they're arguing about. Everyone agrees that the mechayev of tefillah. Why does the Torah obligate you to say tefillah? Because tefillah be'is tzara. We're supposed to call it to Hashem when we're in distress to realize Hashem is in charge of everything, and that's really a time that's tefillah be'is Sarah, a time of Sarah is a time when a person is distressed, you call out to Hashem, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. But the Rambam holds it every day. We say every single second, every day is a nace that we're living. You don't realize it. You know, sometimes Chaz v'Shalom person will see like a car come right in front of him and it'll be saved miraculously. It'll be Moda Hashem or Rachman Al-Tzam, person's relative gets sick and then he has a miraculous recovery. So then he realizes that there's a tzar every single day. That's why the chiyuv of tefillah is every single day, according to the Rambam. According to the Ramban, it's a perceived esara. Perceived esara is not every single day. It's when a person actually feels that he's an esara, then it becomes a mitzvah de'oraisa, according to the Ramban. So that is a Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of machlokas, that really everybody would agree with the Raisa. So then, here's a question over here. The Gemara seems to be beferish, ha derabanan, that the mitzvah of tefillah is only derabanan. Also, Rav Chaim, by the way, held that within the Ramban, that there's still a kiyum deraisa. So everyone holds that there's some form of a mitzvah deraisa, lechora, within the mitzvah of tefillah. So how could the Gemara over here say explicitly the mitzvah of tefillah is only derabanan? So the Kesef Mishnah already asked this question. Moshe gives the same terrors. Lechora is referring to the Kesef Mishnah without quoting it, but he clearly meant that he was talking about he clearly knew the Kesef Mishnah, knew everything. So he knew this Kesef Mishnah, and the answer is that we're talking about here Mincha. So presumably the guy daven Shacharis already. If you daven Shacharis, then everyone agrees. Even the Rambam says that Tefillah is only once a day, every day. Usually when you have a mitzvah, we don't know the prescribed amount of time. Based on the Birkas Kohanim, the Gemara and Sota, we learn out that it's presumed to be once a day, every day. Lechora, every mitzvah is once a day, every day. So that applies by Tefillah as well. So if you daven Shacharis already, your Yotze, your mitzvah deraisa for sure. And that's why we're talking over here. We're assuming that over here is only a mitzvah derabanan. So that's what the answer is. So that's why referring to it as a mitzvah derabanan. But in a chanami, the concept of tefillah and to say tefillah once a day would still be deoraisa. So the Gemara says, Ella amar Rava ikashya hakasha. So the Rava says, then if there is a question to be asked, I'll tell you the question that should be asked. Rav Safra is telling you what's the minei obey the Mishnah is a problem. The Mishnah tells us when you enter your house, you take it off your table. Alma demasik. The Mishnah implies that a person has to interrupt his mitzvah, his meal rather, and take the lulav. That's what we're telling you from over here. So the Gemara says, "V'hadratani." Yet, then the Mishnah tells us right after, "Lo natal shacharis yitol bein arba'im." That if you don't take it in the morning, you can take it in the afternoon. This implies that alma lo mafsik. This implies that even if you were eating, apparently, even if you were eating, the Mishnah is telling us you don't have to interrupt your meal and you can continue. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Safra." To that answer, that difficulty Rav Safra now is coming to answer this the following. Lokasha de ikashus bayom. There's no difficulty within the first and second part of the Mishnah. The part of the Mishnah says that you're allowed to take it bein arba'im. So far, there's enough time that day that again you're starting your suda at 1 o'clock, and therefore, and know for sure it's ending by 4 o'clock. Then even by lulav, I'll tell you, you have a chiyuv. You wouldn't have a chiyuv to end it. However, if I know, example before that, it's 6:45, you're starting your meal, and it's supposed to end at 8:30, and shkia is at 7:30, then I have to anyway stop, so I have the chiyuv to stop right away and take the lulav. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Zera, my kusha. Reb Zera asks, what's the difficulty altogether? Dilma mitzvah lav suke. Maybe the Mishnah is telling us that there is an obligation to interrupt the meal and take the lulav right away. Unless we're afraid, there's a chashash that maybe the meal is going to take longer than you really think, and it's going to go and last you into after shkia and you're going to miss this man of lulav. Below pasik yitol bein arbayim, but the second part of the Mishnah is telling you, if you didn't do that, then still you still have a mitzvah to do it. Shekol ayam kash lulav. It's just telling you a second kiddush. By the way, until the shkia, until the, it's nothing to do with that you shouldn't stop. Avada, it's agreeing that you should stop, but it's telling you that if you didn't stop, if I didn't stop, then you still have the entire day. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera then continued, La'olam kedam rinan meikar. In fact, we're going back to, as we said originally, that Rav Safra's chiluk with regard to the Mishnah and the Mishnah and Sukkah over here and the Mishnah and Shabbos needs to be answered. Hi, Dorei Sahadra Banan. So that Rava you found difficult. What's the fact? Why is the Mishnayos even contradicting each other? L'chora, one case is with regards to Sukkah and Lulav, not Sukkah. The case of Lulav is a mitzvah de'oraisa, and the mitzvah of davening is older Abanan. So what was the Havamina to assume that the two halachas should be the same? And there's no stira whatsoever. The Gemara says, no, there is a contradiction, because Hachab Yom Tov Shini de'Rabanan Askina. We're talking about Yom Tov Shini. Now, Moshe points out, obviously, we're not talking about Yom Tov Shini in Chutzlarts. We're talking about in Eretz Yisrael, the second day we're calling Yom Tov the day of Chol HaMoed, because it's Chol HaMoed, because the Chorah Chol HaMoed is referred to a Yom Tov because a certain malachas, the Tavra Ovid, is Aser. So therefore, in a certain Bechina, it's referred to as a little bit of a Yom Tov. So we're talking about from the second day and onwards, which really means that it's a Din Derabanan. We know that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, all 7 days were Derei. So that's what the Gemara is going to learn out. We're going to get that in the mouth. We'll get to that whole Drasha. So that's Lekachal Yom Lifnei Hashem. Shivas Yom, and that has to be for Hashem. In the Beis HaMikdash, before Hashem, is all 7 days. After the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Mezakeh made a Takana Derabanan that a person should take the Lulav all 7 days as a Zecher for the fact that they took it all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, but the only time the mitzvah is deraisa is the very first day. So we're talking about the second day. So it's going to be the same. So therefore, the Rava's objection to why there's no kash at all. There is a question that needs to be answered. Our Mishnah is talking about the second day and not the first day of Yontif. And the Gemara points out Udaikanami. And also, I could actually make an implication from the Mishnah itself that it implies that the Mishnah is talking about the second day of Yontif and not the first day. How do I know that? Midiktani Mishaba Baderech Ve'in Biyadalula. We're talking the fact that Mishnah says that we're talking about someone who's traveling on the road and didn't have a lulav. The lashon of baba derech. Baba derech is a lashon that you traveled very far. It implies that you were traveling very far. But what are you talking about? You're talking about yantiv. Mishari, on yantiv, we know there's an isra of tchum shabbos. A person's not allowed to travel beyond his boundaries, which is 2,000 amos beyond the city's limits. You're not allowed to travel from there. So when you say you're baba derech, it sounds like you're going on a very long journey. So I can't tell me baba derech the lashon when I'm going with, you know, like two places from Shar Chesed to Ramat Eshkol. That's not called, even though it's a far walk, it's not called baba derech. Baba derech is really far. You're walking from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv on Shabbos. That's Baba Derech. So that you can't do that on Yantiv. It's referring to, obviously, Chol HaMoed, when you're allowed to walk, there is no problem of Tchum Shabbos V'Yantiv on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to go as far as you want. So Mishari, so the Gemara is talking about, again, that on Yantiv it's not Mutter, so it must be that the Mishnah was talking about second Yantiv, and therefore we have a good question why the Mishnah's case was different. So therefore we needed the answer of Rabbi Zera's understanding to make the chiluk between the fact that you had Shios Bayom or Eino Shios Bayom, and that's why it's a good question between the Mishnah and the Mishnah in Sukkah and the Mishnah in Shabbos. Okay, now we just discussed the inyan of halos. The Mishnah continues with more halachas of halos. Mishaya Eved O Isha O Katan Makrinosa. So if you have a person who's Eved Knani is Pater from all lotases and is chayev in all lotases and pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama, just like a woman. And also a woman is obviously pater from mitzvah saseh shazman grama. To also point out, but wait a second. L'chora, the Gemara of Pesachim implied that a woman is going to be chayev in the halel on lil haseder. So they pointed that's a function of dalat kosos, and dalat kosos afina toba osanis, as opposed to halel. I was just wondering, Tosos doesn't finish off. They say that we don't, avalkan lo ala nes amor, that the halel is not for the nes. So I thought, l'chora, the halel is for the nes. So the halel are just praising Hashem for the yantiv, apparently. That Tosos is bringing out of here. I remember hearing that. I just see a preferential Tosos. Remind myself of that idea that lechora that when we say halal is not really for the nace of Sukkos, rather it's for just the yantiv, the time that we're in. We're just excited about the time we're in, which woman is fundamentally pater from. So. Oh, katan, or a person below the age of bar mitzvah is obviously not going to be chayev in mitzvos. Midarabanan, there's a concept of chinuch, we'll get to that. The Gemara is going to make mention of that by benching. Makrinoso. So the halacha is makrinoso, that if he's saying halal for someone, then, see, makrinoso, ona acharein mashein omran. Makrinoso, he's reading the halal for the person, then ona acharein mashein omran. So then he's going to respond to what they say. Because they're not, normally the halacha is, you can be yotzei, we're going to get to this, the source for it, Alamar Chesam Abbez, on the Amar Bez of today's daf, that there's a concept called shomer. That I have the right to listen to someone saying a passage or something, let's say Megillah or Parshas Zachar or whatever it might be, any mitzvah. There might be exceptions to that rule, but for the general rule is any mitzvah should be dibur. The halacha is I could be yotzei through Shomea Keona or any bracha even for that matter, like bracha on shofar. So I could be yotzei through the concept of Shema Ka'ona, that I'm listening, it's as if I'm saying it. So, however, the only time I could be Yotze Shema Ka'ona is if the other person is on the same level of Chiyuv as I am. If the person is not on the same level of Chiyuv as I am, he doesn't have the same obligation, then I cannot be Yotze Shema Ka'ona. So here we have an Eved, a Katan, and an Isha. Those three people are not Chayav in the Mitzvah. So since they're not Chayav, they can't be Motzi. We're talking about a Gadol over here. So therefore, he can't be Yotze. He has to repeat after them word for word. So the Gemara says, V'tavalo Me'ira, the Mishnah says that, and a curse should come out to him for having the situation. So what exactly did he do wrong? So Rashi says, because he doesn't learn, he doesn't know how to read, and he didn't even bother trying to read, and he has to hear the halo from a katan or from a yesha. That's embarrassing. He doesn't even try reading. We're not obviously talking about someone who grew up and not from them, became religious, but someone who's just too lazy to learn Hebrew. So then obviously that's a chazal was very upset with that. Rashi gives another interpretation. No, maybe we're talking about someone who actually knows the halachas, he knows how to read halo, and he just specifically is using them to be they were decided to say it out loud, and he was being yotze with them. So obviously that's very bad. He knows how to read it. That's even worse. Lefora, then you really know how to read it, and you weren't yotze with them, and you were trying to be yotze with them. So that's not something you should do. So Gemara says, "Imay agadol makreo." So however, if it's a someone above the age of bar mitzvah reading the hallel, so then ona achrav haleluka. You don't have to answer. You don't have to repeat every word. Rather, you could just say haleluka. So that's the shiloh here. What does that mean? Rashi seems to understand that he responds haleluka from the end of every paragraph. Rashi learns it out based on the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says, so that's what the Gemara says, that that's similar how they used to say the halo. So that's how Rashi understands this over here, that you say this. So the Mishnah is referring to someone who's saying the halo, and he's been given to Shema Ka'ona, he would say haluka at this point. This point is not a machlokas Rashi, the later part's going to be. So the Gemara says, that's what you do. So the Gemara, the Mishnah continues, Makom Shunagu Lichpol Yichpol, where they have the minhag to, this is the machlokas, is to say a pasuk over two times, double the pasuk, then you're going to do that. Rashi understands that the makom shel lichpol kol pasuk u'pasuk. Rashi seems to understand that many of the pasukim of Hallel are repeated, and Rashi gives an example, Hod Hashem Kitov, Yomer Na, Ikaluka, all these other examples. We don't follow Rashi's, he seems to understand that they repeat the entire Hallel, and it goes through the whole thing, that they used to repeat at least most of it, or seemingly all the Hallel, according to Rashi. The Rambam writes that the minhag was that they would repeat the last nine pasukim. That's our minhag, right? From Odecha Kiyane Sani, Piskuli Sharet, I don't what's first already. From that point onwards, we repeat all those last nine pasukim. Odecha Kiyane Sani, Kiyane Shuv, Ev Masamoni, Piskuli Sharet, Tzedek, Kavam, Odecha, Zer Shalat, Samot, Odecha Kiyane Sani, Vaitila Shuv. That's the first time we start repeating them. Those are nine pasukim. From there to the end of the Hallel is nine pasukim, and we repeat it just like the Mishnah tells us to repeat. Moshe just asked the question. At the end of the day, Davar HaMelech, when he wrote Tehillim, it's not written double. So where did all of a sudden this concept come from that we can add to what's written in Tehillim? The psukim of Halal are from whatever, I think it's Kuf Tezvav or whatever, wherever till Kuf Yotes, till Kuf Yotes over there, whatever the Halal is written, we're just taking Tehillim and we're saying it as Halal. So why is it that we're doubling over here something which David HaMelech, who wrote the Tehillim, did not double for us? So Ramosha explains that there's fundamentally a difference. David wrote it as a Sefer. So he wrote Sefer Tehillim, he didn't double it, but we're saying it Derech Shira. That gives us a heter to say it in a little bit different way that David HaMelech said it, that we're saying it Derech Shira, we're saying it Derech, a praising Hashem Baruch Hu, and that praise sounds better if we repeat certain psukim, so that we're allowed to do. That's Rav Moshe's answer. So leave shut yishut. If the minhag was to not repeat the psukim, then you should follow the minhag of the makom and not repeat psukim. So again, our minhag, I think, everywhere. I haven't been to any minyan, even the Sfardim, that don't repeat the psukim. We're talking about the bracha after halal. L'chora, the Rambam writes in his Perush Mishnayos that everyone would agree that where there's a mitzvah, where you're finishing the halal, then for sure you have a chiyuv to make the bracha on the halal. Everyone would agree to that. We're talking about the bracha after halal. Certain people didn't have the minhag to say it. Again, I think everybody agrees where we're finishing the halal, meaning on days like the Sukkot, where you finish the halal, then everyone would agree that you say the yahalucha and the bracha afterwards. Meaning the minhag nowadays. Hakol k'minhag. Everyone should follow their whatever the minhag is. Now the Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanu. We learn in Raisa. Be'emes Amru. Whenever we say Be'emes Amru, Rashi says that Be'emes Amru is always going to be Allah l'maisa accepted. Here, the Yerushalmi writes that in general, when we say Be'emes Amru, it always means it's Allah l'moshe v'sinai. But here's some point out a problem with this Yerushalmi, because over here we're talking about Allah, about Halal, and benching rather, which is only a din derabanan. So how could that be that this is Allah l'moshe v'sinai? Maybe the Allah l'moshe v'sinai was talking about less? I don't know. But that's a shell over here, how this refers to Halal. But that's Yerushalmi writes. Whenever you say Be'emes Amru, it's really Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So the Halacha is Ben Mevarech La'aviv, that a Katan can be Yot Mimosi, his father, in benching. The Gemara over there talks about Rashi says that we're talking about where he ate a shear that was a Derabanan. If he ate a shear Derabanan, then the son who's a Katan can also Mimosi a Derabanan, since he's Chayval Tzchinuch. He can Yot his father and in the benching. Ve'evan Mevarech La'rabo, and also a slave can say the Bracha on behalf of the Adon. Again, also presumably where he only had a shir derabanan. And also over here, the is only talking about where the woman had a shir derabanan. This is a little bit more problematic, not more problematic, more questionable, because the Gemara has a suffix whether a woman is chayv midor reiser or not in benching. The Gemara leaves it off as a sarachian. It's a suffix. We're not sure. So here, lechor, we're talking about either way you could say it. Either the Gemara over there is talking about where the woman is chayv, so there, and obviously the woman can be varach for her husband. Or we're talking about here, no, the woman isn't allowed to say it, and we're talking about over here where she had a shir derabanan. Now the Gemara continues. And the Chachamim said, "Tovu me'ir la'adam she'ishto uvanav mevarchid lo." There should be a curse upon a person that doesn't learn halachas. He doesn't learn halachas in order for, and therefore his wife and children have to motzi him in the benching. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rava. Now we're going to get to different halachas with regard to halal. Now we're turning on to Amud Beis. Hilchasa gibirasa ikal mashmem minhaga de halal. We can learn a lot of big halachas from the minhag of halal. So Rashi points out, Arichos over here, Rashi talks about that in the time of Rava, the halal was, it changed from the original practice. When the Takanas Neviim were was to say halal, so they were misakin to say halal, and they already knew that a lot of people don't know the words, so therefore they were misakin to say halaluka. By the time of Rava, everyone was a baki, most people knew how to say, or at least most people were able to say most people were able to say the halal. So in Rava's time, most people were able to say the halal. So therefore, they didn't need to be yotze shomei kaona. Yet they would still keep certain minhagim to know what exactly they did in their earlier generations. Apparently, those were like I would say the ikar components, but major things that they wanted to keep for future generations, even though they knew how to say halal. So the Gemara says, so what's the first halacha? Hu omer halaluka. The minhag that they had in the beginning of halal was that you say halaluka. Vehein omerin halaluka, and they would say halaluka. Mikan shemitzvah la'anos halaluka. Here specifically, there's a mitzvah to say halaluka, meaning the rest of halal in Rava's time, everyone would say it together. Both the chazan and the tzibur would say it together. Everybody would say it together. So in the time of Rava, though, that even though they would do that, the first word though, the chazan would say halaluka, and he would then, and everyone would be quiet, and then they would repeat halaluka. And the reason that they would do this is that. Is that apparently that they wanted to keep the original takana that the people should know that they should sing halaluka responsively. So that's lechora. The Achronim ask, why nowadays don't we do that? Meaning we're also became just like the one in time of Rava. Why don't we just keep this minhag? It's not hard to do at all. The chazan should just say halaluka, and then everyone else should be halaluka. Like I don't know the svasevus, the Achronim, they're bothered by this. They ask, why don't we do this? Okay, that's a good question. Another Gemara continues. Second halacha, hu omer halu avdei Hashem. So he says, give praise the servants of Hashem. Vehein omrim halaluka. They respond, halaluka mikan sheim haya gadol. Makre also. We can infer from here that if a gadol is saying it, that even over here you should say halaluka. And so in Rava's time, again, people were no longer using the Shemei Kaona, but still, during the time of Halu Avdei Hashem, they would say rather than saying the phrase back and forth, they would just say halaluka, so that they wanted to know the original law that you're allowed to be yotze Shemei Kaona through the Mishnei Nabaki, so they kept the halaluka over here. That's what the Gemara keeps as the second halacha. That's now we have the third halacha. Hu Omer Hodu Lashem. He says, Hodul Hashem. The reader says, Hodul Hashem. Ve'inu mirim al Hodul Hashem. And the people respond, Hodul Hashem. Mekan shemitzvah la'anos Rosh HaPrakim. From here, we learn that we should answer the Rosh HaPrakim. So we're talking about, let's say, for the second paragraph. We say, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. So the people would say, even though they didn't know the rest of it, they would say, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. They should answer the beginning of all the Prakim. So that would be and they kept that apparently, that they would be Yotze B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. They would then repeat B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, even in Rava's time. They're repeating the first phrase of the last parak, Hodul Hashem, after the Chazan, then they would keep that minhag. So that's what they would do. That Rishonim were bothered by why in Rava's time were they repeating the first phrase in the last parak as opposed to their earlier prakim of let's say B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. Shouldn't they say B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim and repeat that? That's the tzarachia that some of the Rishonim had. That's the third. We didn't bring a raya for that. So the Gemara says Itmar Nami. We also bring a raya for this. I'm Rav Chana and Rava. Mitzvah lanos Rosh HaPrakim. There's a mitzvah to say the beginning of each parak even bizman hazeh. Now a fourth halacha Rava wants to bring. Hu Omer Ana Hashem Hoshia Na and. So we learn from over here that they would repeat Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, that this is the beginning of the parak. They repeat it in Rava's time as a zecher to the original takana, which was that if a katan or anybody who's not chayav and halal would say it, those who rely on him has to repeat every word. So they repeat Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, to remind yourself that in certain circumstances you'd have to repeat parts of the words of halal. Now the Gemara continues, Homer Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, Venomer Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. That they would If you want to double any phrase, you're allowed to double the phrase from here. That's what they used to do. Even though they're going to be, you could be yotze through shemek kohane, the people actually were as if they said it, but since they were repeating it, this is showing us that the halacha is you could repeat certain phrases if you wanted to, and it's not considered about those. There's not a problem adding to what David HaMelech said with regards to the halah. So then the Gemara continues, another halacha, halacha number 6 now, the Gemara, Hu Omer Baruch Haba. So the Chazan says, Baruch Haba, and Hinomer B'Shem Hashem, and they would say B'Shem, so they wouldn't say Baruch Haba, so they would just finish the paragraph. Mikan, the Shomea Ka'one. From here we can learn the halacha of Shomea Ka'one. The people didn't respond Baruch Haba, they would just answer Baruch Haba, and they would continue B'Shem Hashem, to show that you can be Yotzeh through Shomea Ka'one. This concept of Shomea Ka'one, again, is a very big concept. It teaches us you can be Yotzeh with someone else, and be silent, and still be Yotzeh with someone else. This is something that applies in many different halachas. Let's say, even if the shaila is shomei ka'one, is it mamish ka'one or not? That's a famous machlokas Rashi Tosos. Does it come up over here in Sukkah later? Maybe it might, but definitely comes up in brachos that with regards to the person in the middle of Shmona Esrei and they're up to kedushas. It's actually machlokas. We pass in like Rashi in this. I think it's Rashi who says like that way that in middle of Shmona Esrei and the shliach super up to kedusha. So you want to hear the kadosh, but you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei. You're not allowed to interrupt your Shmona Esrei and say kadosh, but you're supposed to hear kedusha every day. So what do? So you stand silently and you can listen and shomei ka'one be yotze. You are kadosh, you're going to be yotze, your kedusha by just standing silently, having mind to be yotze with the chazan. The question is, the Tosfos asks over there, what do you mean? Then I'm really like, I'm talking in Shmona Esrei, I can't do that. So that we see from there, there's a fundamental machlokas when you say Shomei Ka'one, is it mamish like I'm talking? Is it mamish like I'm being medaber? Also, there's another machlokas whether or not Shomei Ka'one in general is lechachila. Some want to say maybe some Rishon, I think we pass it is lechachila, but so that there are those who want to taina that. Shomei Ka'one is not like Achila also. But we see there's a concept of Shomei Ka'one. Now the Gemara continues, Ba'o Minei Mirei Pichia Bar Abba Shema Velo Ana Maho. If someone listened to someone say and he didn't respond after hearing it, so he didn't respond, he didn't say Haluka, or nowadays didn't say Amen to the Bracha, but he had in mind to be Yotze, what's the Halacha? You fulfilled your obligation? Amarlu Chakima V'Safra Reishi Amar V'Darshi Amru. The people who are smart, interesting why they use this Lashon, the wise men, the school teachers, and the leaders of the nation, those who teach the Torah, they told us Shema Velo Ana Yotza. In a case where someone listened and didn't respond, and he had in mind to be yotze, then you're going to be yotze, you fulfill obligation, and you don't have to repeat that bracha which you were supposed to say. That's halacha ma'aseh also. If a person is shomei ka'one and for a reason doesn't say amen to the bracha he was listening to, but he had in mind to be yotze, we paskin b'di'eved that after the fact, if you again obviously the chachila, ideally you should say amen, but if you forgot to, you are yotze. Gemara continues, Itmar. Now we also learn Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Amar Bar Kapara. Minayin lo Shomei Ka'one, where do I know that Shomei Ka'one from Psukim, that there's a concept of Shomei Ka'one, that when I'm listening and having mind to be yotze someone, it's as if I said it. The Pasuk says, Es kol divrei asher tzeikat the rabbi, it's the Pasuk. So, Es kol divrei asher asher kara melech Yehuda. That all the words that the king of Yehuda, Yoshiah, read. So, Lechor, Yoshiah Melech was not the one who read it. The Gemara's going to ask in a moment. Chizkiah, Chilkiah, the Kohen Gadol, he found in the Beis HaMikdash Sefer Torah, and it was opened to the spot where it said that the Bnei Yisrael didn't listen, and they're going to be thrown out of the land. So when Shaphan started telling, he read this to Yoshiahu, the king was depressed about it, and he started doing tshuva. He led to a mass tshuva movement. Yoshiahu, Vayikonin, that's one of the first keynotes we have. We believe as a Masorah that Yirmiyahu, Vayikonin, Yirmiyahu, Yoshiahu, that's actually written by Yirmiyahu. That keynote is starting from when Yoshiahu died. He was such a tzaddik, he convinced the whole nation to do tshuva, and he was killed because he thought he didn't want to let Paro Mitzrayim come through his land, and because he had a drasha that if we're listening to Hashem, that nobody's allowed to come through our land. Yirmiyahu told him no, there's some people doing avodah zarah, but he was so convinced that everybody did tshuva that he didn't want to believe it, and he ended up being killed. Either way, Yoshiahu was a big tzaddik, so when he heard this, he was depressed. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Yoshiahu didn't read the words of the Torah; it was Velo Shafan Karan. Shafan was reading. So the pasuk says, Veikarau Shafan Lifnei Melech. Shafan was reading it before the king. It's referring to Yoshiahu Melech as reading it, and yet he wasn't reading, he was listening to it, so we're viewing him as if he reads it. It's like, oh, you're going to be yotze as if you read it. The Gemara asks, Udilma Basar de Karino Shafan Karisha. Maybe after Shafan read it, Yoshiah wanted to read it himself. Like, I can't believe is this really what the Torah is open to? He opened the Torah and he saw it was there. Maybe he actually read it after, and it's really, you can't learn from here, Shomei Ka'one. The Gemara says, no, Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Lo Saka Daitach. You shouldn't have in mind that Yoshiah really read it. Tachsiv, Yan Ra, Rach Levavcha Vetikan Bnei Hashem Bishim Achad. The Pasuk continues, and it says that Chulda, this is Chulda, one of the four, right? Five, The woman Niviot, that where she was a Navi Hashem, and she was a Navi, so she was Chulda. She was so upon hearing this, so she said to him that you heard these words, that you heard it and you did not say them over. So we see from here that he didn't read it, and therefore we have a raya that Shomei Ka'ona, because the pasuk says Karacha, that he read that, even though he didn't really read it, he actually only listened to it. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Rava says Lo Lema Inish Baruch Haba, and then take a pause. Vada B'Shem Hashem. Now we're talking about not if you're being Yosher Shomei Ka'ona, but you just read the phrase, don't stop before B'Shem Hashem. And the Rishonim point out this halacha doesn't just apply to saying halal, but this refers to any point. Don't stop at a phrase and then where the next word is going to be the Shem Hashem with no words preceding it, because it's not like a kavod B'Shem Hashem. Ela Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. Say it as one be'adade, say it as one phrase together. Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem. Another Gemara continues. Amar Rava. Rava teaches a second halacha that are similar to this. We take out the parentheses because it's going to be mentioned in a moment. Lo Lema Inish Yeheshmei Rabba. Don't say Yeheshmei Rabba V'Hadam Mevorach. We're talking about saying Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach. So don't say Yeheshmei Rabba V'Mevorach. Ela Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach Be'adade. Say Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach should be said together. Now there's a fundamental machlokes. I'm running out of time to mention it, so maybe I'll start with that tomorrow, because tomorrow's a short daf. With the machlokes Rashi, according to Machzor Vitri, and Tosfos in the beginning of Brachos, what the parish of Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach is. Hashem's name should be blessed. We'll get to that deeper discussion about Hashem tomorrow. We'll just finish off the discussion right now. Amar Rav Safra Moshe Shapir Kamar. He called him Moshe because like he was the Gadol Ador. He was calling Rava by Rav Safra called Rava that name to show he was the Gadol Ador. And he says, Moshe Shapir, you're saying very good. Ela Hasan V'Acha. Both cases, Asuke Milsahi. The second part of the phrase inclusion. The first Leisam Basa. But you're saying good. But at the end of the day, the whole point is to finish the phrase. It's not an issue in this circumstance. The Machlokas Rava and Rav Safra is only a short pause. However, a longer pause, even Rav Safra would agree, would be an issue, and the Lacha is going to follow Rav Safra. Therefore, a person shouldn't stop for a long pause between the name of Hashem and the words next to it if there's a long pause there and you're stopping for more than a moment. Okay, Beth Shem will pick up with Malcolm Shnago in tomorrow's Daf.